There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That guy was wrong. There is no Bob Pompeiani today. An entire city is let down, but we forge ahead anyway. Bob is out today. He'll be back tomorrow and Thursday. That leaves me and City Limits and me to ask City Limits how he's doing.
I'm fine, Joe. I'm fine. Ohio State won the Natty last night, and I think Penn State would have given him a better game. I still think Ohio State probably would have won. That team was a buzzsaw, and if you spend $20 million on your team, maybe you're a team of destiny.
Why did Notre Dame kick a field goal late in the game when they were still down by, what, two scores?
I don't know.
Why did that happen?
If the result of the missed field goal from by like 23 yards would have been the same from 41 yards in Miami a week and a half ago, I would have been in Atlanta last night driving back today.
I turned it off at halftime, disgusted by the whole thing, the whole spectacle. I couldn't take it anymore. It was a horrible game, and I didn't want to watch it anymore. My wife punched me in the face this morning.
Oh, that's nice. I don't see any scars on you. Are you okay?
I can't believe it took this long. Here's what happened. We're having furnace problems, so the house was, needless to say, freezing. So he's going to make another appearance.
I talked to Ron yesterday.
What?
I did.
Wait a second. Do we get to the wife punching me in the face or Ron first? Should I go ahead with my story?
You finish your story, and then I'll tell mine.
Okay. So I go downstairs to take a look at things. At 4 a.m., plus I have to pee, plus I always get up, and then I start thinking about the state of the world and everything else, and my daughter now driving, I can't go back to sleep. So I'm just sitting in a chair. So then I go back up, I don't know, it must have been 6 a.m., to go back to bed, and the covers situation, Susie had all the covers, so she was still sound asleep. She sensed that I needed covers, and she went to pull on a cover. You know what I mean? To sort of pull it toward me.
Oh, yeah.
And inadvertently cracked me in the jaw.
Inadvertently. Like
she goes, oh, my God, I'm sorry.
She apologized. You made it out to me. You got into a war, all-out war this morning.
Well, I'm not sure there wasn't hidden meaning behind it, but she finally cracked me in the face after all these years.
Like maybe she intended to, and then she did, and she realized, oh, no.
I had to laugh. It was right to the jaw. It was unbelievable.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Yeah, and then I went back to sleep, and then...
I would be remiss if I didn't ask about your well-being.
Guess who's coming to the house tomorrow? Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Ah, very nice. But that means you probably have an issue going on.
I do have a little issue. We're going to freeze. But let's not bury the lead here. You communicated with Ron?
Yes. So I talked to Ron actually when I was in Miami and I said, hey, I'm down here in the Sunshine State. I hope everything's going well with you. And he responded back and said that he, you know, hopes I see a good game. The weather's obviously good, better than Pittsburgh. Stay well. Best to your family. And I told him yesterday, we have 4-degree weather today. We were thinking about you on the show. You still get brought up a lot. And Ron said, if they are talking about me, I'm sure they're ripping me, especially the hosts.
And the host or hosts? Plural.
The hosts, plural.
Plural, good. I'm glad I don't take all the blame. And that was it.
And I said, Joe and Bob miss you. We always wonder if you are listening to the show on the beach somewhere.
Let me guess his answer. He said, no chance.
He didn't answer.
He didn't. That's
not yet.
That's pretty much the same. Well, that's good. He seems to be doing well, doesn't he? A wonderful man.
Very wonderful.
That we miss dearly.
I wonder if he does listen to the show. I really do. I feel like he still does.
Limits. There's less. Of course, I'm the one who said there was less than no chance Ron would ever retire. I thought we were going to tear the jersey off him right in this studio here.
Ron tweeted yesterday. Did you see that?
No. What did he tweet?
He tweeted for the first time since wishing his daughter a happy birthday. It's a good thing they didn't let Jerome make the coin toss call at the national championship
game. That's a good tweet. I was thinking the exact same thing when Jerome came out for the coin toss.
People loved it. People loved seeing Ron back on Twitter.
Yeah. Could we get Ron to come on once in a while, or is it too late?
I think I can try.
I think he was offended that I didn't have him on shortly after. I just thought it was a good time for separation for both of us, really. And it was such a wonderful send-off, I thought it would have been watered down to have him back on. Wouldn't it be fun to do, I don't know, what would we call it? Cooking with Cookie once a week? Just go around the sports world once a week?
I don't know if he'd want to do once a week, but we could definitely make something arranged.
What are you talking about then? Once a year? Once
no,
a month?
No, probably once a month, maybe.
Once a month.
He would just do a monthly check-in.
Cooking with Cookie.
I was going to tell him that you were going to surprise him by going down to Fort Myers to golf.
Cookie surprise.
You're going to knock on his door?
That would be a very bad surprise for him. What if I knocked on his door?
Unannounced.
He slams it on me.
Oh, Joe.
He would definitely
say
no.
What are you doing here, Joe?
He may do that. Actually, no, I think Ron would invite me in. We had a wonderful time there in Fort Myers or Naples, wherever we were last year, right after he left. And that was good enough. But I think cooking with Cookie surprise, something like that would be wonderful once a month. Why don't we do that?
Ron's takes from Florida?
Sure. Let's arrange that.
I'll do my best.
Very good. Here's where we start today, Limits, without further ado. This is what was on my mind at 4 o'clock in the morning before my wife punched me. I was sitting there thinking about this. What do I lead the show with today? What's the story? What's on my mind? What's topical? And you know what? As we turn the page here on the Steelers with another hugely disappointing season, and somehow I wonder if they think that. Somehow I wonder if the Steelers think it's disappointing. I'm just so convinced, or at least I wonder strongly, if Art believes that these are bad seasons. They haven't come close to winning a playoff game in 8 years, but they won 10 games. He may look at that late schedule and say, hey, we got screwed by the schedule, had some injuries, et cetera, et cetera. He may think Mike Tomlin did a good job for all I know. He certainly did last year. After they had the year they had last year and were non-competitive in a playoff game in Buffalo, TJ Watt's out. I think Mike did a good job. We exceed. We barely exceed our minimal expectations every year. Gosh, our coach must be doing great. Let's give him an unusually long 3-year extension and make him the 5th highest paid coach in all of American sports. I'm sorry, but Art's actions told me last year he's okay with everything. And I bet you he is again. I bet you he thinks they got screwed by the schedule. They were 10-3, and Mike did a good job. I think that's what he thinks, but I didn't come here to talk about that today, except in a supplemental form. I came here to talk about opportunity knocking for the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's here. Their chance. And you know what? More than that, we need the Pirates now. This city needs the Pirates. The Steelers are what they are. They've become an afterthought nationally and a point of contention, anger, and apathy here in town. You all saw the playoff game this year and the lead up to the playoff game is what I really mean. That it was as non-celebrated, no energy in town going into that playoff game as any I've ever seen. The Steelers are basically an afterthought. The Penguins, in their sport, are more than an afterthought. Their playoff streak is long gone. Their sellout streak is long gone. They're an afterthought. People are talking about these being the darkest times in a long time in Pittsburgh sports. And man, could we use the Pirates right now? Couldn't we? Just to step in and save us right now. That's what we need from them. And it's such an opportunity to take the spotlight. And they won't do it. Do you want to be the team that saves us, the team that we're all looking to, the team in the spotlight? They won't give yes for an answer. They just won't. So yes, I'm thinking about the poor, pitiful Pirates today. That's what I'm thinking about this morning. And how badly we need them and what a joke their offseason has been. They have done nothing to move the needle. And it's so far beyond disappointing, especially now. It's one thing, you know, if the Penguins are winning cups like they were, or even going on a playoff run, or even good, which they're not. I think last time I checked was 2 days ago, and there were three teams in the whole NHL with a worse point percentage. So when you're swimming with the Sharks and the Blackhawks, it ain't good. So it's one thing when they're good and when the Steelers are good and people are excited about the Steelers and think they have a chance to do something. They have no chance to do anything. They're an afterthought. They're a one and done, kick them out of the bar, throw them in the street playoff team. Nobody takes them seriously as a contender. You would think that the Pirates would seize the opportunity here, would seize the day, and instead they have done nothing to move the needle this offseason, despite having maybe, and this is not hyperbole, the greatest young pitcher in baseball history to build around. And the makings of a good rotation. You know, I hear people talking about this like it's the 71 Orioles where you're going to have three or four 20-game winners. Not that people do that anymore, but this isn't some legendary rotation, but the guy at the top is legendary or has a chance to be. He's somebody you build around, and they only have him for a short period of time. And what has their offseason looked like? Nothing. Andrew McCutchen, 1 year for $5 million. Somebody named Elvis Alvarado. Somebody named Spencer Horwitz. Somebody named Caleb Ferguson, who I thought was a football player, if I'm not mistaken. And somebody named Emmanuel Valdez. It's almost like they're joking. Like, oh, you thought we'd do something? The joke's on you. They've done nothing. Their over-under last year, I think, was 75 or 76.5, somewhere in there. Guess what it is this year? 76.5. ESPN gives them the worst World Series odds in the NL Central at 75-1, and their over-under from them is 76.5. Tied for worst in the division with the Cardinals, who have literally done nothing this offseason. And again, virtually the same as last year. What an opportunity, and they don't have to go out and spend like the Dodgers. Nobody ever could. They don't even have to spend like the Diamondbacks. They just have to spend a little bit. They're projected to have like the fifth or sixth lowest payroll last year. And by the way, right now it's projected to be lower than last year's. How's that possible? How is that even possible? You can't go lower than last year. It's like trying to do the limba? What's the thing with the bar that you go under?
The limbo.
The limbo under a worm. You can't go any lower than last year. They were second lowest in the league to a team that doesn't even have a city or a ballpark. The Sacramento A's, I think they're called now. The Oakland football team, the Sacramento baseball team. I don't know what the hell they're called.
They're just the A's.
The
A's. No location given.
I actually like that. They were the only team with a lower payroll last year, so pump it up by $40 million. Go buy the kid who went the other day. He's not a kid anymore. Santander, is that how you
Anthony
say his
Santander,
name?
Yeah, from
Santander.
The Orioles.
Santander.
5 years, 90-plus million.
I don't care what his name is. I care that he hit 44 homers and that his contract was doable. They've done nothing. They're probably worse now than last year. At least by the end of last year. Chapman's gone. Ortiz is gone. Who's in their place? Spencer Horwitz? I looked at all these projected lineups, and I know Ben Cherington promises a move before, or at least indicated there could be a move before spring training or before the season starts. I can't wait to see that one. Everybody's gone who they could have spent some money on. So here's your projected lineup. I got Liner there because Kiner Falefa is your leadoff hitter in every projection I'm seeing. A guy who can't hit is your leadoff hitter. He had a .265 on base percentage last year. He had a brief revival in the first half of the year for the Blue Jays. Total outlier from his career and then reverted to his norm, even below it, when he got here. So your leadoff hitter, according to these projections, had a .265 on base percentage here last year. Brian Reynolds in the two-hole good. O'Neill Cruz, 21 home runs, 181 strikeouts in the three-hole. Basically, you hope that he finally puts it all together. McCutchen is the cleanup hitter in every projection I've seen. A 38-year-old who was supposed to come here and supplement things, bat way lower in your lineup and just sort of be an addition when he got back here a couple years ago. He's your cleanup hitter at age 38. 20 home runs and a .232 batting average. That's your cleanup hitter. They just passed up a guy, for all we know, didn't make him an offer at all, who had 44 homers last year. Spencer Horwitz, projected by Fangraphs to hit 12 home runs is your six hitter. I forgot about Joey Bart in the five hole. And they better hope what we saw in a pretty small sample size from Joey Bart was real, or that's going to be a problem. Nick Gonzalez after Horwitz is your second baseman, coming off a .709 OPS. Key Brian Hayes is in the eighth spot, a guy they gave $70 million to, and you have no idea if he's going to play. He led all of Major League Baseball history last year in balls topped at the plate. I've never seen anybody top more pitches than him. His total, he would go games where he'd have five at-bats and the total length of the balls he put in play was like a foot. And then Josh Palacios, I didn't even know he was still here, Limits. Still here?
I saw him walking around at Pirates Fest. He's here.
Did you get his autograph?
No.
He's projected as the nine hitter. That's your lineup. Kiner, Falefa, Reynolds, Cruz, McCutchen, Bart, Horwitz, Gonzalez, Hayes, and Palacios. Are you blanking kidding me? With a bench of the human rain delay is back. I forgot about that. Jason Delay. Jared Triolo, who went months at a time without an extra base hit last year. Nick York, who I forgot was here. And Billy Cook, who might as well be Ron Cook, texting Limits from Florida. This lineup stinks. This bench stinks. What the hell are they doing, honestly, in this offseason? What have they done with this kind of opportunity? Just staring at them. Here, take it. Everybody's ticked at the Steelers. They're not a contender, a real contender. Everybody knows that. The Penguins have sunk to new lows. Here, take it. Take it. Go out and buy a player or two for minimal salary. Jock Peterson. I don't know how to pronounce his name anymore either. I'm flustered here. For what, $16 million? For a guy who crushes right-handed pitching? And we're going to show up here with after O'Neill Cruz at number three. The rest of your batting order is McCutchen, Bart, Horwitz, Gonzalez, Hayes, and Palacios. With a bench of Delay, Triolo, York, and Ron Cook. That's what we got here. It's just unbelievable. And I wonder off the top of the show what the emotion is about this offseason. This town desperately needs something, and it should be the Pirates because they have the pieces in their staff, in their pitching staff. They have the piece at the top of their pitching staff, a guy that you build around. Plus, they've had all these drafts from, you know, 3-4 years of abject tanking and then just being bad, not on purpose. They have the number 9 pick again this year. So after these years of prime drafting position, the opportunity to bring in international free agents. By the way, has anybody graduated from their much-hyped Latin American academy? I was doing stories on the opening of that thing when David Littlefield was here. And it was going to produce wonders. They were actually spending money on something. See? We're spending money on something. We're going to produce players from there. Has anybody graduated from that place? It's like Animal House. Nobody graduates from there. Plus the draft, plus the opportunity to bring in young players in trades. I mean, every trade they've made practically for the last 8 years has been, oh, we're bringing, you know, lottery ticket type return here. High ceiling prospect. Where are all they? How is there not a single guy rocketing through their lineup who's a hitter? How is that possible? It's almost a miracle. After all these years of drafting where they draft, where's the hitter? I should say hitters, but I'll just go with one. Termar Johnson, he's still in double A. He's very young. Maybe he'll hit someday. How can that be? How is there not a Chris Bryant when he rocketed through the Cubs system? Or any one of a number of dozens of guys over this period of time who have done that in the other organizations. Number 1 picks they've had. Number 7 pick, I think, was Nick Gonzalez. All of that. And we're leading off with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa? Andrew McCutchins, your cleanup hitter? Joey Bart, Spencer Horwitz, Nick Gonzalez, Key Brian Hayes, and Josh Palacios? Where is everybody? Where are the Pirates? Hello, we need you. Please, we need you. Right now, it's a dying sports town with the Steelers and the Penguins. What an opportunity. What an opportunity for the Pirates to swoop on in and be the cavalry. Instead, they have Isaiah Kiner-Falefa as their leadoff hitter and Ron Cook coming off their bench. I'm just, you know, that's why I was thinking of all this. It's the state of sports in this town. It's their chance, and they might have a lower payroll than last year, really, with the way that baseball, too, has taken off revenue-wise. I think they're going to be okay. They spend an extra $30 million or $40 million. They'll still barely be over 100. Just get into Brewers territory. As I say often, Milwaukee is actually a similarly sized, perhaps smaller market than Pittsburgh. So why? Why the disparity? It's just really, really especially depressing now. You know, people can forget about them when the other teams are going good, like I said. But now when we need you, the over-under 76.5 again. Your biggest offseason moves were McCutchin, Horwitz, Caleb Ferguson, and Emmanuel Valdez. Oh, I forgot about Elvis Alvarado. Sorry, Limits. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not enthused by Elvis Alvarado that much either, but I think you hit the nail on the head on a lot of different things, and especially what is odd to me is I view this year as Judgment Day for the entire year on a lot of different people in this organization. And at the same time, this might be, I think it probably is, I don't have any inside source on that, Andrew McCutchin's final year. Like, I expected him to come back, play 3 years. If he played all three, great. This is probably going to be it. So don't you owe it to him as well, as he's saying he needs to step up as a leader because they're not adding other pieces to basically bring this whole thing together? And Paul Skene's talking about they can't choke away games late in the game. How many games did they have last year where they were leading going into the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning and blew it, and their bullpen gave it away? And they had no bullpen pieces this year. Like, they haven't added one bullpen arm other than Caleb Ferguson Is that guy supposed to replace Chapman? So I have so many comments, concerns, and thoughts.
They did more last year. They did more last offseason simply by signing Chapman to a $10 million deal. I've just never been so disappointed. How many more years of control do they have on Skeens? Five?
Yes.
Okay. So,
including this year.
Right. You figure at most then he's going to play four more seasons. That's your window. And if it's like the Garrett Cole situation, then you start talking about trading him, or people will, if you don't have him signed to a new deal, people will start talking about trading him after three more seasons. So 25, 26, 27. That's when the talk will start. That's when Cole was dealt. So you have a very, very small window with this guy. Very small. But you also might have him, who knows, for the greatest years of his career. 22 through 26 or 27. That is the prime of an athlete's career. So why not try to take advantage of it? And if you're Bob Nutting, why not ever err on the side of, man, if we can put it together even a little bit, the money's going to start pouring in. Because this is a desperate sports town right now. But even if the Penguins and Steelers were winning, you know, it would still be, I think, packed stadiums and things like that, packing PNC Park or coming close for big games in September and August. You know, I'll never forget, I learned my lesson back in 2011, which was Clint Hurdle's first year. And I had written and said, we all had talked about, all of you out there, and me too, about the lost generations of Pirates fans. I think at that point it was an 18-year losing streak. You'll never get those people back. Even if they become pretty good, you've just lost too many fans. Well, guess what? They were in first place in late June, and the city was going nuts. I did a story for CNN, my only story for CNN. It paid rather handsomely, I might add, limits, about the revival of the Pirates, a hometown kid, Neil Walker, helping lead that revival. People out on the Clemente Bridge with brooms before a game, like it was packed on the bridge coming over. They're about to sweep the Cardinals. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to light a spark with the Pirates, no matter how many years they've lost in a row, no matter how angry people are. It doesn't take much, but it takes more than signing McCutchen, Alvarado, trading for Horwitz, and bringing in somebody named Emmanuel Valdez. It takes way more than that. One guy? They couldn't go out and get one guy?
Think about how they were competitive with Skeens going into August this year, and we were barely talking about training camp for the Steelers. I mean, that's the power and polarization that the Pirates have in this city. It's a baseball town. It's a football town, number one. There's no denying that. Then it's a baseball town. And, I mean, I will argue with the wall with people about that. And it shows. Every time that they were even in the mix competitively. They were just around 500 until that Diamondback series is what tanked everything. The ballpark was packed all the time.
There's deeper, longer-lasting connections with baseball, you know, certainly than hockey. And people want to. No matter how angry they are, they want to root for a winner. They want to go to that ballpark. So give them a reason. Instead, we're stuck here at 76.5 wins over under again. So that's where I'm at this morning. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. And I can't figure out, really, as someone who's followed the Pirates my whole life, For all of my childhood, was a huge fan of the team, just gigantic fan, didn't have a baseball team where I came from, would make pilgrimages here. And while I'm not a fan anymore, it feels more hurtful to my heart than anger-inducing. It really does. It really does. Now being, you know, a Pittsburgher for I don't know, when was November of 1989 when I moved here, limits? Is that
like 35 years ago?
35 years. This is where I got married, where we've raised my child, where I've made a career. and the Pirates have missed the playoffs 28 of 32 years. I mean, when I got here, they were good. And then they weren't for a long, long time. And then they briefly were again. Their last playoff series win was 1979 when I was 14 years old. And this is such an opportunity in a mediocre division. I didn't even add that. Looking at the moves that teams have made this offseason, one of these years the Brewers are going to fall off, although they're so well run that you wonder about that. Maybe the Cubs. You know, the Cardinals stink. It almost looks like the Cardinals want to sink to the bottom and rise up, which is what a smart organization would do, knowing they could build back up. What an opportunity at hand on so many levels for the Pirates, on so many levels. And it looks to me like they're going to blow it. Unbelievably did more last offseason than this offseason after getting a look at Paul Skenes and what he could mean. Almost like they're relying on this rotation. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need much. We have Skenes and these other guys in this rotation. And again, I'm not so sure this is the 71 Orioles. You have Skenes, then you have Keller, who has completely wilted down the stretch each of the past two seasons. Jared Jones is still wildly talented, but a tiny sample size, and he fell off last year. And then Bailey Falter and Oviedo maybe with Chandler coming up. I don't know. To me, there's still tons of questions there, more than answers. Has a chance to be really good. I don't know that you just roll out those guys and win a pennant. But there is Skenes. 412-928-9370 off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got a lot going on the show today. John Parrotto is going to join us to talk a little Pirates. We have a treat for you at 1 p.m. We have the debut of Limits, new segment. What are we calling it, Limits? A football fix, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's what our minds came up with.
Yeah,
I think intelligent minds came up with.
Yes, took both of us to think of that. You thought of football, I thought of fix.